Ian Gregg with CFIR Radio, reporting for Due North on 88.7 FM. This piece was created with the assistance of the Community Radio Foundation of Canada, the CRFC, and the Local Journalism Initiative Fund. I dropped a line to traveling band Apollo Suns on their return trip to Winnipeg after a sweaty, psychedelic jazz funk show performed here in the Prince George Legion 43, 11166 Avenue to an ecstatic crowd. It is far from the first time this band has played in town, and from the sounds of it, it will not be the last. So who comprises this intrepid group of ragtag, earshot-charting, funky performers, peddling their syncopated beats and choreographed swinging brass moves across Canada and into the U.S.?
Ed DeRoche, Aaron Bartel, Anatole Rennie, Bryn Herperger, Benjamin James Hill, and Tim Iskierski right now. And then we have a couple players at home. Now currently on tour is Garrett Malenko and Erica Einerson. We're in a big 15-passenger van with a couple of benches and then all of our gear in the back. And then we recently upgraded the van to have a roof rack on it so we can put our, like, camping mats. And, you know, like, sometimes we don't always get beds, actually, most times. But, you know, like, it's nice that we have places to crash now that we'll have multiple beds or couches. But, you know, we always travel with mats and a tent. The odd time we have tented out, especially if it's summer. Yeah, if hotels are really expensive, we'll just throw up a tent and crash like that. It's like not the most uncomfortable thing I've traveled in. It's also not the most comfortable thing, but it works. It works.
That's Ed DeRoche. He's taking the lead in managing logistics, planning, and just making it all work. If you've come across Apollo Suns in person, it shouldn't come as too big of a surprise. They've been at it for a while.
Well, we started in 2017. We started touring, and we called it the Red Whale, I believe, because it was a big red 15-passenger van. It's the Land Whale, right. Sorry, we called it the Land Whale.
I feel like I see six people who are all aware of each other's talents and you know how to step out of each other's way and kind of share the limelight with one another. You're all aware of what you're bringing to the table and to the stage. Do you think that's an accurate representation? And second of all, off the stage, touring together and you're basically living together for an extended period of time, how are you able to all get along so well?
Yeah. I think that's a good representation. We do definitely know where each other's at with strengths and weaknesses. And when someone else is taking the lead in an improvisational section, it's like everyone else's job to like support that. Also listen and watch, because cues can not only be musical, they can be through body language or eye contact or how many fingers someone is holding up is how many shots they want to hit or something like that. So we have developed somewhat of an internal system, understanding where the soloist wants to go, and also the soloist will pick up where the band wants to go as well. So it's definitely a conversation, and I mean, music is more or less just a style of communication. And then that kind of goes hand in hand with how do we get along off stage. I mean, sometimes we don't, but generally it's just the same as on stage. We listen to what other people need and try to support that and make sure that everyone feels like taken care of and supported, and, you know, and like listen to, you know, because sometimes some people need more alone time than others. And that's also fluid as well, because some days I'll be super in the mood and chatty and just be more, out there, you know, but other times I don't want anyone to talk to me, and I'll be in my room, or if I have any private space, I'll like kind of close the door and leave me alone until you need something. There's been days where like the only privacy that we get is when we go to the bathroom. So it's like, you know, you're like, man, maybe I'll just stand in the stall for an extra 5 minutes and collect my thoughts, you know.
You take the opportunities you can get.
Yeah, you enjoy the little things. And I think everyone kind of gets in that space, because, you know, we're like away from home and we're out of our routine. And you know, I think we're all pretty stoked to be out on the road and having the privilege to play music, travel, and get paid for it. But, you know, it's still a challenging thing that we're doing. Yeah, I think that's how we kind of manage it. And everyone has different routines. Like, I like to make sure I'm going on runs or working out or having my morning coffee and my morning, like, greens and just making sure I'm taking care of my body, which doesn't always happen every day. And other people need more, like, you know, I'm gonna binge this show, or I'm going to shed, or I'm going to do this or that, you know? So Benjamin's going to go skateboarding to, like, relax or all that. Yeah, it's just kind of like listening and being respectful of what everyone else needs, but also, like, expecting people to show up as well, you know?
Your tour, to me, it sounds like it's been epic. I feel like this is the third time I've seen you here in Prince George, BC, in a relatively short period of time. How long have you been on the road, and how much longer do you plan to be on the road before you return to headquarters and refocus?
Well, I mean, we've been out, in and out on the road, in and out since March of 2022, but that's not like straight. We're usually doing about 120 shows a year, roughly, give or take, on either side of that. And then we're home, like, book it as, like, if we do 2 weeks on, we have 2 weeks off. If we do 3 weeks on the road, we have 3 weeks at home. So, yeah, so this last one was about a 2.5-er. I think it's like 18 days or something like that. And then we'll have, I think we're home for about 2.5 weeks. Then we'll be off. We'll be on the road for, just 22 days the next one. So it's just like, I don't know, like, we're trying to balance it, but we're also like a live band. If I was relying just on digital to support this band, we wouldn't be a band. We're not that type of band. And I am happy that we're not that type of band. I like playing live, and it's been great, you know, like, even we've had people both at Prince George show and whatever we're booking, or people see, like, oh man, you're going up to Prince George, or you've come here so many times, like, why? It's not like a Calgary or a Vancouver or a Toronto where it's like a given, but we've had such good, we're just talking about this because we're like looking at like how we did on the tour, and Prince George consistently has never been a loss. We've never lost money in Prince George. It's been good. So, and like, the people there are so great, like, they're very kind and welcoming and excited, enthusiastic. So, and then we make sure we want to hit those markets at least once or twice a year. And just while we're still building new markets, we're returning to the people and the markets that have, you know, stuck by us and supported, come to every show and brought their friends to the next one. I don't know if the band will ever not tour, but we are building in more off time. So we're finished December 31st. We have like a New Year's Eve run out west, and then we're doing almost 3 months at home. So we're going to record and write, do some pre-production for the new album that we're just getting ready to start conceptualizing and wrapping our brains around. But I think it's important, especially for a band like ours, to get yourself in front of people.
It sounds like early on, the group was frantic, trying to achieve success, hitting every opportunity they could, and now you're starting to think about balance.
I used to think if I said no to things, it would just be over. Like, no one would ever call us again, or I wouldn't be, and it's just not the case, you know?
You've all been working very hard to earn what you have now, like, your fan base is growing, and just recently, you are at about number 4 on the Earshot Canadian charts right now, is that right?
Yeah.
That is a big deal, and it hasn't just happened overnight.
Oh, yeah.
You've been working together for about 5 years. You're starting to actually see some of the fruits of that labor, where you show up in town and your reputation is starting to precede you. You know,
yeah.
Word of mouth has been traveling. People are coming out to these shows, and there's a bit of momentum and inertia that is carrying you around. That's got to feel good. I'm sure at some points it didn't always feel so optimistic. And I mean, even now, it's not as if it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you are starting to feel like you can relax a little bit. You're able to say no every now and again. What do you think got you to that spot where you're becoming aware that you can breathe for a minute?
Yeah, it's definitely been like a battle, especially like we're not a typical Canadian band. Instrumental in Canada, there's like a dozen of us, if that, you know, and we don't have hand claps in the songs, you know, we don't sing folky lyrics about love and all that stuff. So, you know, not that we don't feel those emotions, but I, you know, so it has been a bit of an uphill battle, but I will say that there were pockets in the beginning of people that immediately got it, especially in BC. BC almost from the start was like, yeah, Apollo Suns is one of our bands, you know, like they were very outside of Winnipeg. Like BC was one of the first places to kind of get it. But as for like the hard moments and like feeling more comfortable, full transparency, even a year ago at around this time, I was having an existential crisis of like, I'm super in debt, like to run this band, to create the album we just did, I took on a lot of debt. And especially when you're going into the U.S. and like coming out of a pandemic, there was like, it wasn't super comfortable, and I was living on debt and even just order to pay the players to tour. So yeah, like even a year ago this time is such a huge turnaround. Like I think we could see like the little kernels or the little nuggets of growth, not just musically, but also like, you know, seeing that we had a kind of growing fan base and like starting to get even bigger than that. And like now friends of friends of friends are telling their friends, and you know, those 30 people in a room are now turning into like 100 people in the room or even more. And then that's even getting bigger. Even from a year ago, like, you know, I was considering shutting down the band here, because it's like, you know, when you have tens of thousands of dollars in debt, you know, it ain't pretty. So, you know, and you're looking, you're like, oh shit. And to anyone listening, it would take a lot for me to consider that, because like, I believe in what we're doing as a very positive thing. And I do think that you got to bleed a little bit. You got to sweat, and things take time to build, and anything that you build that you want it to stand on its own is going to take a little bit of sweat and a little bit of skin off your back, you know. So but I feel like last fall was that for the band and myself. And then this year it's kind of been crazy, because we've just been seeing like a lot of like the fruits of that labor and that growth, kind of like with bigger ticket sales, and merch is doing well, and our streams are doing well, and there's more people coming to shows, and there's even just talking to people, it's great to meet a lot more people who are, you know, sending the bad messages and like just communicating their support of the band. So I definitely feel more comfortable, and like the vibe, like I always felt that the band would be at least some sort of success, but seeing that it can get like now onto the more international stage, and we're talking about like Europe, and you know, we can pay more of our bills potentially, and like, you know, be comfortable as human beings in that way, it's nice. To see, after I was joking with my partner of like, oh, we're finally like making money now, and my partner was like, yeah, all it took was 6 years of being in debt and touring relentlessly and just to get to this point, and to get to the even higher point, you know, it could still be another like 5 to however many years to get to where we're selling lots of tickets in Europe or in the US or Australia, or who knows where it'll take us, or if it'll even take us there. Yeah, it feels really good to be able to breathe a little bit, but I'm still extremely cautious for how well the band is doing now. Nothing's ever a sure deal, and the music industry is incredibly volatile. And so, but I feel that we've worked really hard to take care of our audience and our fans. That if nothing else, I feel like we'll always have them, as long as we don't start doing anything crazy or stupid or saying ridiculous shit.
Do you feel like streaming has been part or partial to your success as a group, or is it something that kind of feels like a burden right now, or even parasitic? Or I guess, what is your relationship to streaming right now?
I just think it's important for people to know what it is. I love Spotify. It's a great, the algorithm's dope, like it kind of learns what you like, but also that can be problematic too, because then once it learns what you like, it'll just feed you the same 10 bands that are different, but they kind of sound exactly the same. You know, you're not like evolving your palette through the algorithm. I just wish Spotify paid the artists better, but they kind of screwed themselves, because they don't actually own or create anything. They have no original content. So they're licensing all of these major like label acts. And the thing is that they don't actually own the rights to these things. So a lot of the money that they're making will get paid out to like the major label acts or artists. So I could potentially see Spotify not being around in like 10 years or just very outdated because they've gotten almost too big. And now they're like, oh, we need, you know, because we have shareholders, we're going to start like laying people off in order to keep that bottom line just juicy, you know? So, yeah. So their services are going to get any better, but they're going to have to retain like that growth. Like streaming is a tool and we use it for sure. And I've had people at shows say they discovered us through a playlist or Spotify like recommended us to them and then they came out to a show. So yeah, it's definitely been positive and we're happy that our music can be freely heard. It's accessible. I would just say that if you're listening to a band on Spotify and you want to support that band and you want them to make more music because making music costs a lot of money, make sure you're supporting them in a financial way or sharing their music or telling all of your friends about it and all that stuff. Because that goes a long way. There are many ways to support bands. That's kind of my thought on streaming. I just wish it would pay more.
To that end, what is your website? Where can we get your merch?
You can find us at apollosun.ca. You can find our merch on Bandcamp as well. A great way to support the band while streaming us still is to buy the digital album on Bandcamp. And if you buy anything, it'll probably be me who ships it out to you. And then we have, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I'm usually on Spotify, app, all the things, YouTube. Yeah, basically you can find us anywhere if you just Google Apollo Sun.
Apollo, the Roman god, APOLLO, Suns.
You got it.
SUNS.
Yeah.
Where's your next show?
Our next show actually is in our hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba, where we will be doing a doubleheader at the Goodwill Social Club to release the new album, Departures. We haven't actually released it yet at home. We were originally going to do it before we left on this tour, but then we had a scheduling snafu, so we decided to push it back to in-between tours, which I'm super pumped for, because we're going to be like tour tight for the release shows. So it's a Thursday and Friday at the Goodwill. Winnipeg's been really good to us. It'll be a good double header, and we're doing different songs each night, and we're going to have different guests up with us. I think it's going to be real magical, if I say so.
Ian Gregg with CIFR Radio, reporting for Due North on 88.7 FM. This piece was created with the assistance of the Community Radio Foundation of Canada, the CRFC, and the Local Journalism Initiative Fund.